Joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here with us to the Shepherd's Call. Got a great program. Part two, Adam was not the first man. We're going to get right into the evidence. You know, many people have become very skeptical that people lived before Adam. They have adopted the Bible, which is to, for, and about a special people that came from the heavens. Did you know that there is still war in the heavens? We're still carrying on the wars over this issue that we're going to talk about. Now, if you notice the things that we should talk about on the mysteries of the heavens, the very, very beginning of the Bible, you're confronted with the deepest mystery in verses 1 and verse 2. I'm going to show you that the mystery in Genesis 1 and 2 is in direct contrast to the glorious heaven and earth of Genesis 1 and 1. Now, let's read. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is verse 2. In the beginning, God created in the heaven and the earth. And according to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, this was for the earth to be inhabited. Now, the Spirit speaks of the same earth as a planet now in ruin and in total desolation in the second verse. So then, if you really understand, Peter enlightened us. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was without form, void, and darkness. Now, how can darkness be there when the first thing that God created was light? Light is the opposite of darkness, or the absence of darkness. Why was it dark in verse 2, and could there have been light in verse 1? Here again, the earth in verse 1, Genesis 1, and God created heaven and the earth. Now, as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, here's what Peter says when he weighs in on the question about whether it's an old earth or a young earth. Was it inhabited or uninhabited between verses 1 and verses 2? For this, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, and I'm going to read you here, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed in Genesis 1 and 2, being overflowed with water, perished. Is the Genesis 1 verse 2 world that perished or became dark and void with the absence of light, was light the first thing that became a casualty, or was darkness the dominating force before light was ever invented, as it's recorded in the Bible? Something is out of sync here. We know that water was an element, and it was present before day one, before he created light. There was already water here. So, something, ladies and gentlemen, is out of, well, it's just out of, it's out of sync, synchronization. The synchronization of verse 1 and verse 2 is chaotically opposed, diametrically, basically, opposed to each other. Now, if Genesis 1 and 2, the earth is described as lifeless, uninhabited, drifting in cold and darkness, chaotic remains of something that existed before. Did the earth become dark and void after the fall? Did Satan fall from heaven with his angels before this chaotic condition became prevalent upon the earth? Did the earth, was the earth created with the theme of Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? Then we jump immediately into a controversy where it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was completely submerged. Because we find later, he says, let the dry land appear. Is it something that God is reinventing? Has it already been invented, and has it been polluted and in a fallen state? Well, if you think about this, that the import of the Hebrew and Greek word definitions, when we talk about the words out of the water and in the water, and the Greek words and the Hebrew words against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, Peter says, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Fallen. A state of fallen. Genesis 2. Genesis 1, perfect state. Bliss, beauty, splendor, glory, Genesis 1 and 2, it's exactly one verse before God says, let there be light, in Genesis 1 and 3, where he begins the creative process of the famous 6 days that is found in Genesis 1 and 3 in the beginning, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and then rest in day 7. Now, if light was the very first thing that God ever created, what's all this other stuff that's already in existence? Specifically, in Genesis 1 and 2, again, there's water. It's composed of hydrogen and oxygen. And there is the earth, composed of elements and compounds, and in a solid form, recognizable as a planet, which has already been assigned a proper name. Water and earth are both matter. So, if matter exists before he said, let there be light, was the earth in the water and out according to Peter. And if you observe the physics, in particular the equation of Einstein, in order for matter to exist, there must be space. And space and matter must exist in time. Matter and space and time are directly governed by the speed of light, which is constant. So something already had to be functioning in time and matter and space, and that the governor of the speed of light, which is constant, light already had to exist before he said, let there be light. Light is just like, if it was already existing before Genesis 1 and 1, which it had to be because there was water and there was the earth and there was a planet, and then it fell, the fall was great. Now, if you look at the earth and much water and much of these things that we take for granted that Yahweh spoke into existence after Genesis 1 and 2, when he starts verse 3, and God said that there be light. Light had to exist before darkness. I'll give you the reason why, according to the Bible. There was no darkness in Yahweh to create. The creation of darkness came about by something blocking out the light that pre-existed before it became a fallen state in Genesis 1 and 2. So then something had to exist and was already there at the present time. That third and very important element that we're going to talk about is already present darkness. And not just the physical darkness, but an absence of light, but also spiritual darkness, the absence of wholeness and harmony. Now, when you put all these facts into account, you're going to let the truth come to you. Number one point, the planet Earth and a universe was already in existence before the creative process of Genesis 1 and 3. Now, think about that. Before light, and before God said it's good, and before God said these things in Genesis 1 and 3, when it begins the process of a 6-day creation, there was already an eternal creation already in existence, because the planet Earth and a universe that existed around it were already there with water, with air, oxygen. And these things already existed for an unspecified period of historical time, and Peter said, of old, the earth and the water and out. In the water and out. In the water and out. Now the question is the physics of time and space and matter already established at that point? And the answer is evident. Yes. Which, by extension, means that the processes which regulate the radioactive decay, which is matter, and the half-life principle, are functioning and valid already at this present time. And some undetermined time in history past, death and the powers of darkness first came into being long before Adam. Adam just became another victim of the fallen process as he is proceeding into matter to take the control to be fruitful and to multiply or to replenish something that already existed prior to Genesis 1 and 1. It's evident, very evident, that if you think that the Bible is true and it's faithful about the redemption process by the blood of the Lamb, now, if it's true and faithful about man's fall and we have a need for redemption, then heaven and hell is to be taken into account for a judgment, heaven, that existed before earth, pre-existed, by the way, hell, a secondary or under and over, heaven above and hell beneath. We know then that the history of Israel, a chosen people, and the patriarchs, the Bible is true when it says Moses stood by and Yahweh parted the Red Sea. It's true about Yahweh making the sun dial go backwards 10 degrees as a sign to Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 9. It's also true that Yahweh made the sun stand still for Joshua. And it's also true that Yahweh made the present heavens and earth our world in just 24 to 6-hour days. And only about 6,000 years ago, just as the scripture says, then we must take into account the truth surrounding Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, verse 1 and verse 2. If you consider the ages of the geological fossil record, and they're true, and then the 6 days of Genesis are the account of a recreation or a regeneration of a previously existing heaven and earth, which was not the original first, the time creation of all things by Yahweh, and Genesis chapter 1, 7 created days are certainly not a geological history of the earth. This is after the fact. This is a repair mechanism. Something then restored. So then, if you look at creation versus evolution, the paradox between the two, then the scientists are wrong about every living thing on the face of the planet being as a direct descendant of living things that evolved across the hundreds of million years that science tells us that the earth existed prior to Adam. Adam is supposedly only 6,000 years ago that he came into existence, and the earth was already without form and void in a fallen state. Adam is to take the fallen state, the challenge, to raise it up and to restore the earth in its fallen state. So then, Yahweh is trying to tell us that the Spirit of Truth reveals His Word, that the prophets, like Isaiah speaking about a coded message of the king of Babylon, Isaiah 14:4, and the prince of Tyrus, and Ezekiel 28:2, they were renowned mortal men of history. Prophetically, the Spirit is also addressing a man yet to come, the Antichrist. But did the Antichrist exist prior to Genesis 1:1? And of course, the answer is a resounding yes. Satan existed in a state of an environment that was suited for him and his fallen ones, who chose to rebel, and it's evident from the content of the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 when the writer says this. Listen as I read. How art thou fallen from heaven? Now, we're not talking about earth. He fell from heaven, a pre-existing place, to earth that also pre-existed, but had become chaotic and dark and void through the result of the fall. Notice this. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Proper interpretation of that text is, I will become the overseer of the regulations of the heavens and the earth, the times and the seasons. I will sit over those who participate in the appointed times. I will change the appointed times. The earth became fallen. Yahweh's laws became fallen, chaotic, dark, and confusion. Now, here we are, that thou hast been in Eden, in Isaiah 14:12, as we proceed to tell you, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Where was Eden? Where was the garden of God? Was it upon earth? Well, Adam was driven out into the earth from the garden. Where was the garden? Was it in heaven? Where is the original garden of Eden? Is it a place, a paradise, a pre-existing place for you to go rest? Remember the flaming sword that was placed at the entrance, lest man put forth his hand and partake of this eternal substance that pre-existed before the life of man, and the Messiah told the woman at the well, if you'd ask me, I'd give you this pre-existing living water, that if you would have faith to receive it, you can do all things through this workmanship that is delivered to you as a gift to Adam, who was not created on the sixth day, but formed on the eighth day as a new beginning creature to walk in a flesh body, and to conquer and to restore that which had fallen in its state. But he met this guy in Eden. Every precious stone, Satan, was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of the tabernacle. thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Does the creation of Satan, does it pre-exist the earth and its creation? Was there a pre-existing place of the angelic host that they thrive long before the earth? And did the earth become, was it a paradise? And did it fall as a result of the Satan falling and was cast out to this place, if you will, in a chaotic, fallen state to sit or to governor or to change or to lie or to deceive or to kill and to steal? Because you shall be brought down to hell on the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and shook kingdoms? Genesis 1 and verse 2 is a shaking of that kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. This kingdom existed prior to Satan coming. It was literally a place full of light and full of love and full of glory and full of power and full of majesty until Satan fell through transgression, and he was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou was perfect in the ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in you. And by the multitude of your merchandise, listen to this, by the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. Where does the mountain of God exist? Did it pre-exist? And the answer would have to be a resounding yes. Did earth pre-exist? And the answer would have to be a resounding yes. After the fall, it even come dark and void and chaotic, and the absence of light was there? And the answer is yes. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13 through 17, the name Lucifer means light bearer or brightness. This is headship that fell through transgression. Notice that Satan was being asked for his obedience. Instead, he gave his rebellion. Therefore, he caused one-third of the angelic host to fall, and therefore in Genesis 1 and 2 they brought darkness, chaotic darkness, spiritual darkness, blindness. And who did he blind? He blinded the hearts of those who were called and chosen before the foundation of the world in Adam. It is not the first Adam that we're concerned with here, because the first Adam was formed out of the earth. It is the second Adam that we are concerned with, because that Adam was a prisoner in the formed relationship of the outward man. And the Bible said there is an outward and there is an inward. The inward became trapped in matter of flesh, and flesh is darkness, chaotic, and void of understanding. So therefore, we became trapped. We become a created creature instead of the Creator. We were tricked to give up our headship and to become servants of those who fail, of those who want to keep us in a chaotic, dark, fallen state, And until we recover ourselves, now we've been promised that we will ascend the day that you eat of this, Yahweh knows that you're going to become gods. And so then, I myself will lead you back to ascend above the heights of the clouds, and you will be like the Most High. You will be a god. You will be a creator. Can Satan create something that's created is in its present state unchangeable? Now, what was found in Satan was a physical matter of chaotic conditions where he gave up stewardship and headship and was second only to Yahweh in the power and authority in the realm of the inward kingdom. He became thrown out, put out, and his seed says, I will ascend above the high. And in Genesis in chapter 6, Yahweh came down to see what was going on with the sons of men and found out that he said, if we let these alone, nothing will be restrained from their imagination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's speculated that the earth is somewhere around 4 billion years old. But how do you measure? We're just guessing. With Yahweh, there's no beginning and no end. Of course it always existed. And of course it always will. So therefore, the argument of where the earth pre-existed before the chaotic conditions of darkness, it's a resounding, overwhelming, yes it did. And we're put here to battle, to fight, or to recover. Remember what the Messiah said his purpose for coming was? To redeem those that sit in a prison. A warden with a key. To come to free us from the will and the wisdom and the cunning and the craftiness millions of years ago, probably, in time related to our earth time, that the sons of Adam failed through transgression in Genesis chapter 6 to be recovered at some point with a covenant of blood and redemption. It's related to the redemptive power from a state of bliss to a chaotic state of fallen darkness that was upon the face of the earth. Satan brought with him a rebellious spirit, a negative spirit, a spirit that when the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And we found ourselves trapped. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll stay trapped until we find our way, Christ's mission was, to set those captives free, to bring light, even in a chaotic, dark state of being, when spiritually speaking, Satan had brought a umbrella of darkness, blotted out the ability to see even darkenly through the glass of the things that's laid up for them that love and serve him. We are living far below our capacity as gods of creation, not gods that were created. Satan is a created god, and now he dwells over us because he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will have worship, although I do not deserve it. I'll have those in darkness worshiping me, making them believe that I am the anointed one. I am the great one. I am the light. So Satan is a light of darkness. Remember the Bible said, make sure that the light in you be not darkness. If you're deceived, you're praising, you're worshiping as Cain did, it's not out of reason for the Canaanite seed to worship Yahweh. The children of darkness, wiser than the children of light, have appeared as light beings when they themselves are servants of darkness, with Yahweh's purpose and intention of coming to set the captives free and those that are bound in a fallen state, a prison, if you will, in their own mind. Your prison is the bars of your flesh, the carnal attitude that you have toward life. Paul said, I've learned to be content. Changing your environment will not change your condition of mind thoughts. If your mind is negative, no matter where you go, you'll stay negative. If your mind is positive, although you live in a negative environment, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so then, yes. The answer is yes. Adam, a being from space, if you will, Adam, a being from heaven that pre-existed, transplanted here, along with everything that grows here, the plants, before everything ever grew, it came from a far country. Now we know that the Redeemer came from a far country to redeem us, to set the captives free. We know that our purpose is to find our way out of this maze of darkness and confusion. And Peter says that of old, the earth was in a chaotic, void, negative state. And Yahweh, at the appointed time, came and became a man to open up the door of the prison. And those even in Genesis 6 that I were telling you about, these were kept in prison until the day of redemption. When Christ came, he died, and he went and preached to the souls in prison that were disobedient in a world that pre-existed with light ever before the darkness of Genesis 2. Call to remembrance that former time that you were there in the mountain, just as Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray that you open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the servant and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. For out of the throne proceeds lightning, thundering, and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, related in Revelations 4 and 5. So yes, there was a heaven pre-existing, the heavens of old, Peter said. The earth in a chaotic, fallen state, Peter saw it, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, he saw the chaotic state of the earth standing in and out of the water of old. Satan had already fallen 750 million, perhaps longer, years ago, where we now are on a Adamic recapture, or the regeneration. The first Adam was a form being. That wasn't good enough, but it was a sheath, if you will, a body, external body, to hold the second Adam, which is from heaven. That's the inward man that created everything but wanted to have an experience of that which he created and become partakers. Satan, in his fallen state, promised us liberty and actually gave us a prison to dwell in. Spiritually dark, no understanding, no comprehension, no ability to reach into our heart and manifest the things that Christ said we were capable. See, we've been dumbed down. That's how Lucifer's rebellion and the domino effect precipitated all creation, including the Adamites, who became victims of the five senses of the carnal mind, where at one time they were given the spiritual eye and the vision to know that they were not deceived. Adam was not deceived. What do we do here when Adam is not deceived, but he kept in mind that there would be a covenant of redemption? That's the only reason he stayed on earth. Otherwise, he was free to go back into the heavens from which he came. Adam is the second man from heaven. Don't you understand this? That Yahweh himself manifested as the second Adam. In you, the hope of glory. Not outside, not some external God that is worshipped from the bell box to give you a mentality that God's setting up in the sky on a throne. No such thing. God is a spirit. He dwells within you. If the body is full of light, then it's a single eye. If a body is full of darkness, then it has two eyes to see, smell, hear, taste, feel, and touch. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the carnal Adam, as opposed to the spiritual Adam, the renewed Adam, the promised overcoming Adam that was promised by Christ, who said, "You can do all things through me." And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunder, and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning as a testimony of the light that is within you. Make sure that the light in you is not darkness. For it says in Hebrews chapter 12, listen to me well, in Hebrews chapter 12, "For our God is," our God is, not a faraway figure sitting on a throne with a long beard. Our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. In the Hebrew language and in the concordance, the word for stones is spoken of as the stones of fire is eben, which suggests that these stones were more like to building blocks or masonry than to natural rocks or burning volcanic brimstone. You know that this is significant, as it is telling us that this covering cherub Lucifer was in the setting of some sort of spiritual structure of fire, a temple of fire on the earth. But this fire is an illusionary fire. As Peter said, the things that appear are not as they are. We fell for the fire that turned to be darkness in us. We lost our way. We lost sight of our mission. We failed as we come short daily. And Christ, the anointing, the consuming fire, he came, as was recorded on the day of Pentecost. When he came, it says that the Holy Spirit dwelled in them as tongues of fire. This is what is a replacement of the counterfeit fire that Satan walked among the stones of fire, produced a fire, and said he was the light. He is the light of darkness. And Yahweh is the light of the world. The difference between the two, one is a carnal understanding of how you're begotten, as opposed to the spiritual understanding of who you are. You were the original Adam from heaven. You're transplanted to this planet as sons of Adam or sons of Yahweh. The devil knows that. He knows that you were already sons of Yah or sons of God. When he said that he knows that the day that you do this, you'll become as God. Or as burning temples of fire. The fire that he described was an evolution of artificial, if you will, counterfeit fire that Satan has imposed upon man, promising him liberty. He becomes a victim, falling into years and years and years, because the earth was without form and void, and darkness was, past tense, upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. If you look at a historical time in Genesis 1 and 2, with the ancient world in total ruin, Yahweh draws a clear distinction in the cosmos between the spiritual and the physical light and darkness. You see that? At the very beginning of his regeneration work, he sets an impassable and fixed boundary between his holy mountain on high and the corrupted physical realm of matter below. Choose this day which you will serve. Come up here. Sit with me. He thought it not robbery. Satan says, stay down here with me. See, hear, touch, and smell. With the five carnal senses, we long to be builders, creators. This illusionary world that we build in is temporal. It's like Cain, the mentality of Cain, who built great cities. For in the redemptive process, in time to come, Yahweh made a covenant promise to Adam, who was not deceived, saying, I will come back and I will redeem you. You will sit in darkness. You will submit to Satan. You will serve self or serve the center of your stones of fire. You'll have a drive, but it'll be a carnal drive. Labor not for that which perishes, but labor for that which is eternal. I will give you the desires of your heart. Satan said, well, why don't you build cities? Why don't you create something? You're a creator. Go ahead and invent something. You're an inventor. Make the world better to live in, and I promise you liberty. I'll give you these nice things to enjoy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we enjoy the creature comforts of our own endeavor as we built and created and molded and made things for our creature comfort, yet our spiritual man is sitting in darkness with the stones of counterfeit fire warming our feet by another man's fire. And Satan. Satan has us deceived, sitting in darkness, and we can't come forth as sons of light because we love darkness better than light. I'm going to repeat that. We can't come forth as sons of light because the physical light and the darkness interposed is related in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. A pre-existing condition that we gladly accepted to walk in a pretense of a counterfeit light. We all like to style, we all like to profile, we all like to joshua, and we all like to sword with each other. It's something that we never seek to do. The only thing that will break this impassable and fixed boundary between the holy throne and the mountain of fire and the heavenlies is the corrupted physical realm of matter in our brain. It's the matter between our ears or between our eyes that so easily besets us and ceases our appointed destiny to rule with as sons of fire, with the real fire. And the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. It was a long time coming, but it was redemptive. And Peter said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This sea above the cosmos, but really below the third heaven, these waters above the firmament are spoken of in the following references of Genesis 1, verse 6 through 10, Revelation 4 and 6, Revelations 21 and 1, and those who are to walk through the gates of fire. There's 12 entrance gates. Satan had 9 of these precious coverings to deceptively bring you over to his holy mountain to let you sit among the honored beings, and that which is highly esteemed among men is indeed abomination to Yahweh. Will you ever return to Yahweh with your whole heart? Will you seek him with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and your strength? Or will you go about being a physical God, creating, working on your job, a sense of being, a sense of belonging? You see, the world is not your home. This is an illusion. It's temporal. Satan has created an eternal illusion here that he hopes will last in the fire, the firmament, under the waters, where he's created a domain to gather the children of the sons of light in a pretense that they are children of light. We go around bragging that we're children of light, and yet it works, we deny. John 8:23, and the Messiah, the bosom that burned in his fire, in his bosom, said this, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world, I am far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and I am above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one which is to come. Now remember, it's the second man, Adam, that we're talking about here, not the first one. The first one's of the earth, earthly, and he sold his wares to the illusionary, chaotic, fallen state of counterfeit light. Remember, he walked among the stones of fire. He said, I'll be like the Most High. And he was like the Pied Piper. He tooted his fiery horn, and the sons of light lost their way to follow the dark light in Satan. We cast the truth to the ground, and we prosper. We fail to take heed to enter into his rest, which is a direct relationship to the first Adam of the earth that was made on the eighth day, giving us a key and a clue that the holy place is similar to the veil or the curtain, which was between the holy place and the holiest of holies, through which only the high priest, you are a high priest, worthy of passing through the stones of fire and to make atonement and to enter in to his rest. But you would not. All day long I have stretched forth my hands to a gainsaying and a disobedient people. You talk, but you don't walk. You don't perform. You fail to enter the rest that is given for you, and it's the second man that is from heaven, actually, that will inherit. Not the first man. Flesh and blood will not inherit. For he produced a tiller of the soil. We're imprinted in the image of the great one, the chaotic one, the fallen one, the flesh and blood one, which can never enter in, and we are under the direct influence of Satan and his ability to keep feeding our egos and our carnal flesh. Well, you're as good as so-and-so. Go ahead. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for Yahweh knoweth that the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Mistake number one. Oh yes, we become a victim of the circumstances, because now you're responsible to do good. If not, sin lays at your door, as was quoted to Cain. That's the principle of a flesh man who's a tiller of the ground. You can never kill an acceptable sacrifice and bring it to Yahweh. Your works, whatever you've got to offer as fire, other than the chosen fire from the altar of light, Yahweh's blood himself being the fuel that burns the torch to redeem you from a fallen state. Yahweh says, come to me, ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. At that eighth day, man, Adam, returning to a spiritual environment of pre-existing heaven, the things that you believe you have, the things you can believe Yahweh have. And Yahweh said, behold now, the man has become one of us, walking among the gods of fire. Satan wanted you to dare, in defiance, to walk with an artificial light, to set over the mount of the congregation and change the times and the laws, cast the truth to the ground, and prosper. Sparks are in the flesh. Cain built great cities, became a man of renown, and Yahweh said himself, whosoever kills Cain, seven times affliction shall be upon him. Why? Why was Cain protected in that environment? Because he had his reward. He can never go back. He can never return. He can't inherit. He can't walk among the tree of life. He can never have any relationship back to the eternal one, who is the real fire, and that fire dwells within you. Christ, or the anointing in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I've got to close. My time is coming down. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. Send my greetings down to Mark and Audrey tonight. Praise Yahweh. I know it's a late call for them down there on the central time zone, but we hope and trust that you are listening wherever you're listening to. You can write me tonight. I've got a brand new address. Simply address your cards or your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. Now again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. We're beginning a brand new month here in November. We hope and trust that we'll have our assembly building set we can finish in the spring and have it ready for the spring festival of Passover in May, where we can receive the saints to joyful boundaries of fire in our bosom, coming together to learn the deeper things and the deeper walk and the meanings of life, where Yahweh said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready, for the heavens are going to open in Genesis 1:1, the blissful state of a perfect setting is going to return to earth. The corrupted, fallen state of man, the decay of flesh and matter, which shall never enter in, will be a passing between the offerings that Yahweh made, and the fire shall cleanse it, and its work shall be known by the amount of fire that it's to endure. Well, call me tonight. Area code 423-259-0606. I love you very much tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world. This is Pastor Buddy saying good night and I love you.